All right. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time, that we can come together and we can sing and we can fellowship and we can learn about your word. God, if there is anything that you want me to forget, I pray that you will help me to forget it. But God, if there's anything that you want me to remember, I pray that you will help me to boldly speak it. God, we thank you for Jesus, and we are humbled by the fact that you would send your son to die for us so that we could become children of God. God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you guide us by your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. In Jesus' name, we pray. And they are a very special guest. You have to introduce them to a group of people. Though you have heard of this guest for a long time, you suddenly realize that you don't, but you can't describe the guest as a person. Now, I believe that this is the way many of us Christians operate with the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said this, "I remind you that there are churches so completely out of the hands of God that if the Holy Spirit withdrew from them, they wouldn't find out for many months." Ouch. Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples with these words in John 16, verse 13. And it says, "But when he, the Spirit, comes," the Spirit of truth, that's an important piece to this, "he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come." Francis Chan said this, "I do not want my life to be explained. I could not be doing this on my own power. In the name of the Father, we even baptize in all three of those names. But how often do we live with an awareness of drink water? So why do we do so when we handle the third person of the Trinity, the Helper, Spirit? As Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit." Francis Chan wrote a book titled Forgotten God. That's kind of where this whole concept for me on the Holy Spirit, it's a book that points out a large problem in the church. Now, it's not a book that likes to bash that state like we have so many books today that do so. But it is a book that the solution, which is the Holy Spirit, is just as obvious. Yet, unfortunately today, we open our gifts and we're thankful for receiving most of them. Unless you're 9 and your grandma did not know what it was. Didn't know what it was used for or how to use it. Now, if you're a male out, is the direct the same line with me. When you open the gift, the first thing you usually, but yet, so often, we don't know what our gifts are. We don't know what they're used for. When you open the gift, maybe you were more perplexed than thankful to understand what the gift could do. You became enamored with it. Maybe even more thankful for it each time you use that gift that we received, but yet we did not understand. I think that some have ignored the Spirit for far too long. As results, reaping, maybe you personally are reaping the disaster. Talk about the Holy Spirit. We read about some things that the Holy Spirit even did in the Bible. But do we have a real grasp on why this picture fits my life pretty well? So often I want to say something. Holy Spirit as a gift? Or do we find the Holy Spirit as a burden? Way is always convicting us of our sin, maybe leading us in some. Now, this morning, I want to focus on the character of the Holy Spirit and how he's missing from the church today. I kind of neglected to understand him. So, if you want to turn to Galatians 5, that's going to be the main balance as a way of not wanting to give ourselves 100% to something, but yet it's possible to live radically. You're supposed to seek first the kingdom. I think it's practically the Holy Spirit. So let's start with a very simple question. Who is the Holy Spirit? People makes us yearn for God and take spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. That doesn't quite tell us who the Holy Spirit is. Now, there are many misconceptions like the Force. Now, how many of you know or like Star Wars? I would hope that most of you at least have heard of it. For this to make sense, it was long before my time when this came out. Now, I cannot wait to introduce my kids to Star Wars, just like my mom, and I hope that each and every night before bed, we can have an epic battle that may or may not determine the fate of the universe. And I truly hope that this can be said on her cell phone one day. I really hope that my daughter can get this message on her of the Holy Spirit. For years, as a believer, my concept of the Holy Spirit actually came from the Star Wars movies. I thought that the Holy Spirit was kind of like the Force. And if you to use the Force against the power of evil. Now, Luke taps into this power and ultimately overcomes evil. Again, sorry for a spoiler alert. This movie is the Holy Spirit is a cosmic mystical force that we need to have special powers to tap into. So what is the Holy Spirit? What is his function? Spirit as the Spirit work in your life, in my life. Now others understand the Holy Spirit. Now simply personal power that God makes available to the followers of Jesus. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a divine person with a mind, emotions, and will. The fact that the Holy Spirit is God is clearly seen throughout many scriptures. Irenaeus, as he is told a lie. But Peter says this, you did not just lie to men, but to God. So it is a clear declaration. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is indeed a divine person because he possesses a mind, emotions, and will. The Holy Spirit thinks and knows. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Seeds for us can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30. Decisions according to his will. 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. The Holy Spirit is God, the third counselor that Jesus promised he would be. Now, if all that and so much more is true, then how this? There is a big gap between what we read in Scripture about the Holy Spirit and how most believers and churches operate today. Scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is active in my life today. So that begs the question, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Dr. Paul Brand was speaking at a medical college in India on Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In front of the lectern was an oil lamp. The lamp actually ran out of oil. The wick burned dry and the smoke made him cough. He immediately used the opportunity. Some of us here are like this wick, he said. We're trying to use our shine for the glory of God, but we stink. That's what happens when we wick ourselves as the fuel of our witness rather than the Holy Spirit. Wicks can last indefinitely, is in constant supply. So think of the Holy Spirit like this. God with us, helping and empowering us to live a flourishing life that radiates the good need for divine help. The mistakes I make, the things that I think, the things that I do, as my fights for control, it's the Spirit that steps in and helps me be who God created me to be. But there might be none greater than the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit clearly indwells and seals us until the day of redemption. Now, some say this proves a different day. We don't have time for that this morning. But what I want to point out is that this verse seems to, and Jude 1 guarantees the salvation of the one that he does indwell. Even in our prayers, when it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And we also see that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we all know that we live in a hostile world, but yet we read and wrote all joy and peace. And as they trust the Lord, causing them to, quote, overflow with hope. The Spirit also helps the sanctification process, which is just a nice Christian fancy word to say to be set apart as sacred. So, essentially, it's the purification process of sin and spiritually maturing us to be more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us in this process. So to die to our old self and to be all that God created us to be free from the entanglement of sin and live victoriously. The Holy Spirit is also a gift giver. Now, in the church, we talk an awful lot about gifts, but how many of us know or remember the words that Paul penned in 1 Corinthians 12 distributes them, which says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes gifts that believe. And later, in that same chapter, we see that the spiritual gifts that believers possess are given by the Holy Spirit as he determines in his wisdom and gives insight, and that he is also the helper when it says this. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things that he would send all that I have said to you. Jesus told the disciples that he would, in John, the Spirit into the world to convict the world. In John, but chapter 16, verse 7 through 11, it says this. But very truly I tell you, it is good, it is for your good that I am going away. That verse has always stuck out to me, right? As a human, when I process that, no, Jesus, it would not be good if you left. It is good for you that I am going away. Now, Jesus probably knew that we were going to think about this and not really know how to respond to it, so he gives us the answer. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment. Reminds me of a great scene in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Now, this might kick one of the greatest scenes. Talk about elves, okay? I understand. But I think this is one of the greatest scenes, in my opinion, in all of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, right? This is a great scene. After an attack by some orcs, we get this conversation between two elves. One of the elves is named Tariel, and she says, "The king has never let orc filth roam our lands, yet he would let." Elf responds by saying, "This is kill our prisoners." Legolas, the male elf, the greatest quotes, in my opinion, in the movies. "It is our fight. It will not end here. With every victory, this evil will grow. If your father has his way, we will do nothing. We will hide within our walls and live our lives away from light and let darkness descend. Are we not a part of this world? Tell me, Mel, comes stronger than us." Now, we are co-workers with God, which we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Do not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God as in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, Spirit. You and I, no matter how smart, no matter how kind, no matter how convert, that is the job of the Holy Spirit. However, we can incline people. Move away as believers in Jesus, you realize how much you needed conviction of your sin and the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And may we do so in true belong to God. The Spirit takes up residence in our hearts forever, sealing us with the confirming, certifying children. Jesus said that he would send the helper to come to us. He would send a comforter and a guide. Now, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Has the idea. Now, this is someone who encourages and corrects. The Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in our heart absent. He gave us the Spirit, his Spirit, to perform the functions toward which we begin this journey of following Jesus. We are, here's a key word, we are commanded, and not a suggestion, not a question. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that we are to surrender ourselves to the church. Yet again, the fruit of the Spirit is a very common topic. It is a math problem that I just cannot solve. We talk so much about the gifts, but so the Spirit sets himself against the desires of the flesh and leads the believer into righteousness. Which reminds me of what become less evident, and the fruit of the Spirit becomes more increase. And I must decrease. So in Galatians 5, we do learn a lot about the Spirit. Starting in verse 16, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are dividing each other, so that you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when acted by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the desires of your sinful nature. The results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and in a case we didn't before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Galatians 5, so we continue to verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this faithfulness in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kinds that Paul has ever said. There is no law against these things. The work of Spirit in his fruit in our lives. These are not works of our flesh, which are incapable. The works of the flesh seem overwhelming both in us and around us. But God is good enough to conquer the work of everything with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit can always do this. Since we are living by the Spirit, he's a Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So simply put, there should be when the Holy Spirit is present in our lives. So how can we recognize the guidance? The Spirit does not speak with audible words. Rather, he guides us through our own conscience. Romans 9:1. But one way to recognize the Holy Spirit's guidance is to be familiar with God's word. Timothy 3:16. The ultimate source of wisdom about how we should live, set them and commit them to memory. God doesn't say that for the fun of it. God doesn't say that because he knows his words are. The word is the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you don't have your sword, there's a reason that God tells us to have your sword ready, to know your sword. Bring specific scriptures, use it to speak to us, to reveal God's will for our lives. And he will also, a verse pops into my head that I learned way back at summer Christian camp. And I'm like, how in the world did I remember that obscure verse? Well, it's because I needed to hear it, or someone I know needed to. Not our desires come from the Holy Spirit. And we must test our desires against Scripture. If it conflicts with the Bible, then it is not from the Holy Spirit, and therefore should short verse that ignored. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we read a very to pray without ceasing. It's one of my favorite verses. One thing that Amanda and I have tried to end signifies we're done. We agree. And then we usually move on in a church service. Business, right? Understand, you don't want to just keep someone standing there and then you randomly walk off. I'm not saying amen is a bad thing to say. Paul says it all the time. We need to pray. We practice this in our house to remind us, this is just what we're praying right now. About something else. When something else comes to mind, we need to continue praying. But not only does this keep our hearts and minds open, the Holy Spirit's leading, but it also allows the Spirit to speak on our behalf. Just look at Romans 8. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So us by making and do not know exactly how we should pray. God himself through the Holy Spirit help me. Yeah, sure. We start to pray and I start to think in my head, oh no, what am I start praying to say? And then when they're done, they're in tears and they're like, wow, that was so great. In the back of my mind, I was like, man, I was tripping over my foot. I was on behalf for his good. So it is important to understand that we do have holding our mouth. There are times, sadly, where I think we all have been in that place where we have overstepped the bounds and we have sinned and we have said something that we shouldn't have said. We have thought something that we have no business thinking about. So the Spirit will also never lead us into sin, but more importantly, habitual sin. So continual, purposeful sin. Being in tune causes us to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us through the word. Habit of prayer and the study of God's word will allow us to recognize and follow the Spirit's leading. Now, as a youth pastor, kids always ask me, how do I become closer to God? And but yet those are the ways that we become in tune with God. Sometimes I have to expand further on that. But it's true. If we want to be in tune with God and preaching us and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, then we need to be praying and we need to be reading a kite preaching on a windy day. And the kite kept going higher and higher and higher. Finally, it got so high, The boy could not see the kite, so he asked the boy, "How do you even know that the kite..." What do you mean, how do I know it's up there? The string's still floating up, right? But the boy answers with a, "Although we cannot..." The boy replied, "Because I can feel it work in our lives, changing us into the image of Jesus." Now, I think that we often forget that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, what I mean by that is I think we know that the Holy Spirit is God here. And let me show you what I mean by that. And the power of his presence at the moment of creation. When it says in Genesis 1, 2, "The earth was formless and empty, darkness covered the surface of the watery depths." And the second verse into our Bible, the Spirit of God is mentioned. Her nest of eggs. So God, the Holy Spirit, drew life out of this chaotic earth and produced light. Father, he knew that mankind that he created would sin and become morally corrupt and spiritual. Lost person and brings life out of death. Is that not the story of each and every one of us here? Spirit's job. Again, Billy Graham said it like this. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. Gov. Now, just like God, the Holy Spirit is all wise. He, in this sense, is intellect. Now, if you ever want to look like a crazy person or go insane through 18-year-old teaching the idea of the Trinity to a concept that was harder than the battle that David had going up against Goliath. That is a battle that is so hard to conquer, but it's even a battle for us to understand. No matter how long we have been under the great God, includes all the divine truth that comes from God and opens our understanding to the meaning of the scriptures, 2, 10 and 11, by them each and every day. So again, in 1 Corinthians, his spirit. The spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts of God except the spirit of God? So to be a good teacher is not about a charismatic personality subject to be taught. And the Holy Spirit is our live-in teacher who is ready to help us understand and apply emotion. When again, he warned us in Ephesians 4:30 to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God before love can be grieved. The Holy Spirit, who is one with God, loves every believer whom... So think about your life and where you're at right now. Are there things that you're doing that are grieving the Holy Spirit? Are your kids grieving you, so now you are grieving the Holy Spirit? By the way, we research. Amanda told me a story this week where she went shopping and she used to put half our house and then the church, so our youth group fund, and she started putting her stuff on. She was clearly not done doing what she was doing. And then Amanda had to go back through and put it all on there. So next time she said she's going to wear a shirt that clearly shows saying something she shouldn't say. Now, as you all know, Amanda, she did not say anything to this person, probably prayed a blessing that we do in our lives. Are we? If I was there, it may not have been the same. So the God, the Holy Spirit is all present. We get this from Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even fast. Because the Holy Spirit is all present, God's children are... Security cameras are everywhere, the caring, loving circle of God's concern. Now, security... You. When you're walking into the bank, they can see you. When you get up to the teller's office, they can see you. But at the international boarding school that was there. Okay, so we had all these kids come from... Maybe a little confusing, so we called him Davey. In the dorm that I was in, right, we're all office that had this giant TV on the wall. And on the TV, I could see these different little cameras. Front door, on the outside, in the laundry room, in our gaming room, right? We had these everywhere besides their own personal room and bathrooms and shower, right? They were everywhere. I could see what these students were doing. So one day, I'm sitting at my medicine paperwork, and I look up because I hear Higadavi laugh. He had a gesture that he shouldn't. So what I do is I get my phone. And I call him. Call him. He picks up the phone. Getting in my room there. They had to call us by our last name out of respect. "Hey, Davey, what you doing?" "Oh, my phone." "So why did you just make that weird gesture on the second floor by the gaming room?" At that point, up to see where I can see him from. Little does he know, across the way, there's this tiny little camera in the corner, what he was doing. Now, despite our disobedience and our rebellion, he runs alongside us. If we attempt to hide from him, he is waiting for us in our hiding place. God is the worst person to play hide and seek with. He always wins. Watch, we are kids going and hiding, and then as they're in their hiding place, they giggle, right? Or they say, God knows exactly where we are, no matter where we hide. And the beauty of this is in the truth that he is like the stops pursuing his children. Wherever our wayward in search for that one lost sheep or eight. In the world of technology, there is this development called hypersonic engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam for about 150 yards. This allows sound to be heard by a who could be listening to music or specific instructions, while those standing next to you might be left in total tightly formed path silence. If you, unaware to you, God's communication with us is very similar to these sound waves. We must be in the right place. If we move away from the pathway of his voice, we become unaware of the fact that he is communicating with us like this. The Wizard of Oz says, look inside yourself and find self. God says, look, we'll get you to heaven. Take your pick. May we never confuse God's silence in our lives, God's absence or abandonment. Often we cannot sense God's presence. Aids of suffering and death and the awful problems of disease and suffering. Not to mention in all of the world in the presence of the Holy Spirit to provide a constant source of courage in all presence. The Holy Spirit is God. A park ranger at Yellowstone was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two. The ranger was a great breathless lookout who asked why he hadn't responded to the messages on his radio. Not this grizzly bear, trying to warn them so they could get out of danger. Ourselves and those around us in danger. So my question, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Or are you grieving the Holy Spirit? We thank you for your guidance in this time. God, we thank you for loving us, the one that saved us, the one that made us right in your minds, the love you always. But God, may we always look towards you, in your word, God. Amen.
Let's stand.